As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin again.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. Hello. All right, start us off with a quote, and then we're going to talk about what we're drinking.
To learn to read is to light a fire. Every syllable that is spelled out is a spark. And one I like a little bit more is a reader lives a thousand lives before he dies.
Those are good. I like them both.
Yes.
All right, so right before we started recording, we both said that we have some special drinks that we're drinking tonight. And as if you're a long-time listener, even a short-time listener, you know that we typically drink. Oh, I wouldn't say typically. I would say we always drink, unless we're not feeling well.
You know, we're rabid alcoholics.
While we're recording the podcast. I always have two beers here next to me. So I'm going to tell you what my beers are first, then you can tell me if yours are more special. Okay. Yeah. So the first one isn't super special. It's fine, but it's one of the Sam Adams Wicked mix pack. So they have like their Wicked Ale. This is their Wicked Tropical IPA. That's the first one I'm drinking, which I like.
Way too late for tropical IPAs.
You know, it was on sale. That Wicked pack was on sale.
I bet it was.
Although the whole thing, it's like there's like a Wicked Double IPA and a Wicked Regular and a Wicked, you know, so that's just one of the ones.
Yeah, I'll say November is like the best time for like fruity IPA, fruity anything.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You can get them for like $9.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got like a summer ale mix pack recently. It was like the beachwear, the sandals, I was like, yeah. It's like $11.99. my other beer that I have here that I will drink second is a Peabody Heights Brewery beer. Peabody Heights is in Baltimore. And Peabody. This one is a triple. So it's a Belgian triple, 9% alcohol. It's called Unforgivable Curses.
Unforgivable.
The Unforgivable Curses. And it has Unforgivable Curses is a Belgian triple with a subtle hop of spice and notes ending in a dry finish to captivate your senses. Featuring hints of fruit and a medium body, this Belgian ale is high in alcohol, so drink responsibly and don't do anything unforgivable. There you go. So yeah, it sold me. It was I saw it and I was like, ooh, Unforgivable Curses. I like the Harry Potter things. Let's do it.
Oh, man. I'm getting in my... My drinking habits get into the Christmas spirit before my household.
Before your actual habits.
Before the lights go up. And
transition all, from like Oktoberfests and pumpkin ales, right?
Even though I still hang with those. I'm like, I'm still with the because that's all kind of winter to me. But
Yeah,
then I go into like the, what does Shiner have, like that pecan one, which is really nice.
Yeah, they have like the red. Yeah, they always do like a decorative
celebration.
One.
It's maybe it's a celebration. What's the other one?
Oh yeah. Celebration Ale is one of their
Celebration Ale. Sierra Nevada, so good. But today I got it. Well, this one I didn't get on sale, but the first time it did, I got a little Trogs Mad Elf.
Ooh yeah, Mad Elf. That was a strong beer right there.
It's almost wine, really. It's it's like 11%.
I got a
two of those. So if I, you know,
dang,
get a little rowdy towards the end of the pumpkin,
they would try to talk about all the serious stuff first.
Yes, politics, religion, money.
I did drink. I have just finished up a 12-pack. It was a it's from Heavy Seas. I forget what the mix pack was, but it was like, it was kind of their seasonal. They're like winter seasonal. It's like Winter Storm and da da da. And they were all, every single one was like above 9. It's like 9, 11, 13. Yeah. I was like, jeez.
Oh my gosh.
But all of them tasted like, you know, usually when you get a really high alcohol content beer, it tastes very like alcohol. You can really taste that, you know, because that's, they're just like, that's that level going up and it's overpowering the hops and the barley. But all of these were really smooth. Like, they were really good. And I forget, there was one that was, like, had some, like, some citrusy notes to it. And I actually really liked that one. I think that was, like, a, yeah, same thing, like a 12 or 11 or something.
Yeah.
The, it was delicious.
For one, I think we should try it. Maybe we could do a short series on the channel of visiting our favorite breweries.
Yeah, yeah. Because
Trogs is in up near Hershey. Heavy Seas is down here in Baltimore, so...
Yeah, and Union, that's a newer one, and BC Brewery, and it's like, that's a good one.
But yeah, Mad Elf is a, it's a holiday thing. It's, they say cherry, so you get a hint of that, but it's like cherry and honey. Oh, here we go, I'll read it, there you go. Blend of sweet and tart cherries, wildflower honey, chocolate malt, and a hint of mischief. Belgian yeast, a ruby red holiday ale. I mean, come on.
Here's the Wicked Tropical. It's a tide of tropical notes like papaya and coconut surge at you from this IPA. Wicked Tropical is a juicy, smooth hop tsunami with notes of pina colada and pineapple, a pillowy mouthfeel, and a lingering sweet finish. It's like a vacation that stays with you. Who doesn't need that?
Stays with you through November.
Exactly. Takes me back to the days of the summertime when the sun stayed out later than 4 o'clock.
Man.
Yeah, that's a dagger.
I did the NCR trail by myself today. Did a little bike ride. And it was getting dark. I was flying back. Had that baby. Actually, I might post on the Instagram because I was like, I'm going to do a shot of me like, and I knew it'd be funny because, you know, e-bikes or the rad runner, they don't speed up that fast. They get going. But it takes a little while to get them up to 20, you know, with just throttle and me on top of it. You know, my wife, she'll just take off, but
she's like, yoink.
But it's, so I have a thing of me going like, and then my caption's like 0 to 20 in like 19 seconds. It's the whole thing.
Here we go, baby. 1 mile a second.
I had a great time. Went past Gnome Hill and all the way up there and under 83, and I was flying. It was great.
I was flying. That's awesome. Yeah, I guess, I don't know if we could talk about that yet, but we had a e-bike company reach out to do a review, so we'll see if that happens, if that something comes of that, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think a lot of those places, they just send out the thing, though, and then you send it back, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I say, hey, you know, if you want to give it to us, we'll do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, send it along. We'll do a side by side. We could bring out the motored bicycle as well.
Oh yeah, oh, see, that would be great. Yeah.
Then you're like adding on, like, all right, now we're reviewing this as well. We have a couple different bikes.
Yeah, put the rad up. Put the rad against anything, little guy.
Little rad bike.
I love the little rad.
Yeah, that is sweet, man. That's a fun ride.
Yeah. All right, so man, we're getting way off base here.
Even though let's circle back around to the quote.
The big announcement.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Kind of, it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so your quote, right, was about reading, spark, lighting a fire under you as a reader, or live, I like that, someone who reads books, whatever, lives 1,000 lives before they die or something like that. That's awesome. That's a good quote.
And now, what more could makers and doers want than to encompass more lives and inspiration?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's what everyone's looking for. Put yourself in other people's shoes and get ideas and go in other worlds and like think of
be things. Be inspired
Think of things. All of a sudden you're like in a ship for a month and you're thinking about ship stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Or you're like out in the wilderness for a month or all these things, which are the beauties of reading.
Yeah,
but there aren't that many. Well, I don't know of. I don't think when you think of a book club, it's kind of a girly thing or a female led occupation.
Yeah, middle aged women. Yeah, maybe the sparse 20 something that gets in with like 30s somethings and 40 somethings,
someone's daughter or something.
Yeah, right. Oprah and her friends,
some nerd girl, some dork. But then you get to a point in your life where you think, maybe I do need a little reading structure. Maybe I need something to push me to read and not only listen to podcasts.
Preach.
Or only catch up on shows. Or only spend time in the shop.
Right.
Maybe you need some time to sit down in the corner and read a good book.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think most of the people that I know who are makers are also readers. Not all of them, but I would say, like the majority, like, oh yeah, I love this book or I like this series, and there's a lot of times you find commonalities there. And that's, I guess something that sounds interesting, right? To like see what other people like. Actually, as an example, who was it? Maybe MD Edgeworks, Micah Dunn. I think that's who it was, and I could be wrong. Micah, if it's not you, I'm sorry. And if it was you, then great. And if it's somebody else, I'm sorry for you. who actually, for Halloween, their son, it was a guy. So his son wanted to be one of the characters from the book series, The Ranger's Apprentice. And so he said he made, and the character's name is Halt, H-A-L-T. And he's a ranger, and he's training an apprentice. And the rangers, their weapons of choice are a throwing knife and a sax knife, right? So a longer, like not a full size sword, but maybe a sax is somewhere between maybe 12 inches and 20 something inches. It's like the clipped point sword knife thing that the Vikings use. So he made him like the sax knife throwing knife set out of wood and posted it. And he was like, my son wanted to be this, from one of his, and he put like in parentheses and my favorite book series, The Ranger's Apprentice. So, which I've read and they're awesome. So I was like, yes, great.
Yeah. And I think,
yeah.
So if you haven't guessed already, we're going to try to start up a book club. And now, by try, I guess Dustin and I will read books together.
Yeah, we'll talk.
And anyone over top of two will be a huge success.
It's a club, right? I actually talked about that with a buddy of mine recently. It was like, hey, if you in college, we could start a club and get money from the school as long as we could say we were doing something and we met like once a month or something. It's like,
yeah, right.
We
go to the bar anyway, and we talk about sports. So why don't we go to the bar and talk about books?
Spork books.
Sprooks.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that'd be fun. And then, you know, include the listeners and the viewers as well on YouTube, and just kind of put it out there and get suggestions. I think that's the biggest thing is like, and I'm actually, I just finished a book, and I'll hold off on saying what it is because it's going to be my recommendation at the end. Mm. Just finished a book, and I'm just looking for like a new book or series to read. Like I was just thinking about it.
Yeah. Isn't that, I feel like most readers from occasional to avid and continuous are always looking for like, because people are always like, hey, what are you reading? What's that book? Like what, you know, and then they just want something to spark something. So I think that's what we're aiming for. And I am hesitant to call it a men's book club instead of a woman, you know, like, cause it's, we're trying to facilitate kind of, it's not the opposite. It is the same thing as a woman's book club, but I mean, we won't be reading like The Help, or I'll say this, we'll try not to read anything that where the author's name is bigger than the title on the cover.
You know what I mean? Yeah, right, exactly.
That's always been a tell for me.
Yeah, right. When the author's name is really big, you're like, yeah. What's her name? What's Steele? Something like the
Danielle.
Romance. Yeah, Danielle Steele. Like really big.
Yeah, something like that where you have the huge name and then you got a small title on it. So you're like, oh, that's just...
Even Stephen King, I guess
he does. Even Stephen King too, does it, but...
Yeah.
But you know what I think we all know what I mean.
Yeah.
And just girly books. Like, I'm not looking to necessarily, like... cry or have a romantic tale. I'm looking for, I mean, at first I was thinking, we're thinking like you want like makery stuff,
right?
So maybe some survival stuff, maybe some great biographies of awesome people who's made great things, or awesome artists,
right? Work
or the autobiography of Cash by Johnny Cash.
Cash's autobiography is Cash by Johnny Cash.
Right.
Yeah, so like something that's like a creative mindset, or something that as well is like... I always like fantasy because of how creative you have to be, right? They're building new worlds and building new characters and new people and new societies and costuming and all that stuff is just sparks creativity in my mind, you know, like,
yeah,
that's the stuff that I want to do and make and see and be in,
right? I think you're either like, we all, I don't know if we joke, but at Blade you go to these places because everyone's had these, you ask like a knife maker their favorite like fantasy knife or movie knife, everyone had kind of something like that that did spark,
yeah,
like the you know, the sword from Braveheart or anything from Lord of the Rings or any of that type of stuff. Everyone has something like that that they always were obsessed with. And then when they were young, you went to like one of those stores in the mall, remember, that had like swords?
Yeah, right.
And you're like, oh that's that? Like, that's the Highlander sword. Like, oh, yeah.
Chesapeake knife and tool.
If I only had $350, that would be mine.
Yeah, right, exactly. It was like nothing. Oh, $180. Oh, I could have the samurai sword. It's so authentic.
A real katana. Look at the dragon on it. I remember, I guess I'm not throwing him under the bus, but when Derek first got married, in there, they had a game room. That's such a newlywed thing and an apartment thing to do, is have like a place just for video games and like a couch, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, we're 20. Like, this is cool. And on the wall, he had, like, they had a couple swords. Remember that?
Yeah, right. He had, like, the orc sword and stuff.
The Yurkai.
Yeah, like,
and something else. It was such a great, like, young person thing to do. Like, what can we hang in here? Like, I got a little extra money. I know what I'm going to spend. My $100. I'm going to go. I'm going to get that sword I always wanted when I was 14. Right,
exactly.
I just got a check for $352. I'm buying the sword.
It's gonna be amazing.
But so you know, I think thrillers, adventure, fantasy, autobiography, classics. I think there was a quote I almost read was a classic in quotations is a book you claim to like but have never read.
I like that. Oh, it's a classic.
Yeah. what a classic. Or maybe you've never finished. I forget either one. It's
right.
So, you know, I don't know if we're going to target like the top 100 of all time books. And I don't think we're going to target like the newest book.
Right.
I mean, like, I feel like we could equally do maybe a Stephen King book or maybe like The Hobbit. Yeah. Like right. Either one. We could come in somewhere in between that type of thing.
Right, exactly. Like, and there's a lot of there's a lot of new authors that are really good, and there's a lot of like classics, you know, a lot of authors that are long and dead that are really good, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah, I think it's just like something that's well, so typically my own preference is I like to read fiction, right? So I usually like to read fiction because it just gets me out of my day-to-day life and gets me into something different, a story, right? But I mean, I'm not closed down to nonfiction, to like autobiographies and things like that, you know. If it's like if it's an interesting person's life, like, that's awesome, you know. Or, you know, historical fiction or like near, you know, nonfiction, like where it's kind of somewhere in between, I think always kind of cool too.
I mean, I think there are so many good nonfiction stories,
right,
that are out there. So many amazing things, like anything to do with the West, stuff like that. All those stories are so interesting, and just all that stuff, and Texas Rangers and Native Americans and any of those stories, I think would be great. The real stories, right, of all the craziness that happened.
What's your opinion on, like, I'm going to just categorize it as this, which is probably not the best category, but like self-help books.
I don't like them.
Yeah. I'm not a fan either.
Well, that's good.
You know, and I think there's a lot. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of good out there in that type of stuff. And I think it's really good. It's a great avenue for some people, but it's just not usually what I'm interested in reading. You know, like I don't know if I've ever read one though. You know, it's like, and not to, I'm not like saying that this person is not my example is Daniel Donnelly. When we were talking to Daniel, he was telling us his suggestion was a book called How Not to Give a Fuck or something like that.
The Subtle Art of How Not to Give a Fuck, which I've heard a lot of people really liked. And I think that one's a little self-helpy, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. Right. And I would be like, if people suggested that, I'd be like, okay, I'll read. You know what I mean? Like, if enough people suggest something and be like, you really should read this book, it's really awesome, you know, then I'd give it a chance. But it's not my first go-to, right? Those type of books are not what I'm – that's not why I want to sit down and read. I want to sit down and read because I want to kind of just get into a creative mindset, get away from, like, the normal day-to-day life. Like, and maybe that's our own background. Like, we had a very, like, wholesome upbringing, and we had, you know, we have a family that we all get along, you know, pretty well almost all the time, right? We're, you know, not, yeah, exactly. It's just that we come from a very healthy mind and body, you know, background. So it's not the thing that we're going to, I guess, like, seek out someone else's opinion on how to live a more fulfilling life, right? Maybe that's it. Like, I feel like I have a really fulfilling life, so it's really fun for me to read a book that's about fantasy or dragons or about, like, survival or, you know, or like, an autobiography about someone's life, you know, or, like, Daniel Boone or, you know what I mean? Like, something that's kind of wild and fun that, you know, gets me excited about something else that's happened, you know?
I had a thought on that. A long time ago, my buddy Steve, you know Steve, he had the book on his dresser, and it was How to Make Friends and Influence People. Yeah, right? You've heard that one.
Yeah, my buddy Tom
read that a bunch. Yeah. Now, I don't like the idea of having a formula for how you talk to other humans. And I think some books like that do that. I don't even want to have that thought in my head. Like, okay, I should repeat their name 4 times. I should do this. I should make sure to mention this when I see them. I need to do this exercise to remember their name. Right. I need to make sure I don't bring up this, this, and this on the first time. I feel like that you may be able to be stuck in their mind, but not for any particular good reason.
Right.
You know, like, and I don't want to do the calculations when I'm talking to someone. And I don't even want to know, I don't want to know the formula for how to do the calculations when I'm talking to someone. Because then I...
Then you're going to think
about Yeah, I feel like it cheapens a little bit.
Right, it becomes kind of scripted, right? It becomes, like you said, like formulaic. Like, you're like, okay, you know, I know if I talk to this person or if, you know, they're going to ask these things. And it always feels a little bit ingenuine, right?
Like, right. I feel like when you really connect with someone, it's just a, you don't need a formula. You just feel it. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a person... of like mind. I feel comfortable around him. I've only met him twice, but I feel real comfortable. We kind of laugh at the same things. We roll our eyes at the same things.
Right.
So I think we're like-minded enough to be friends.
Yeah, and you see someone and they just kind of, you're like, oh, you're just happy that they're there. And, you know, like that's how I want to be viewed. You know, someone's like, oh, there's that person that's easy to be around.
And not you know, because like, you have tricks on how to shade the apple to make it look 3D.
Bringing it around.
Hey, little tricks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So,
those probably won't be involved unless 100 people say you need to read this one book. And
right. Yeah.
I guess we can try that too. But I think it'll be ones to spark something in us to get us all excited to have like a really good time reading the book too. Like, I don't want anything to be a slog.
Right. Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I've been like reading like 200 pages and it's just nothing's going on. And there's all this stuff and there's too much hidden meaning. Like, I don't want to read another book on the book I'm reading to figure out what it means and why it's good. You know?
Right. Yeah.
It should be, it should stand on its own.
Right. Not looking for like, stress you out. You know, like, make you feel, you know, like, there's some books that, are, like, I guess, I don't know, a book that's gonna make you feel shitty about the world, you know, like, oh, right. Just bad people, like, you know, I guess there's some authors that write really well in that category, but, you know, I don't know, it's hard to kind of make that into one category, but you know what I mean, like, I'm not looking for, like, make you, like, you know, depressing. No. Like a really good writer, but you get depressed at the end. Like,
We want exciting, funny,
feel good,
interesting, inspiring.
Right. Yeah.
So we're going to, I think you have a couple suggestions.
I have some suggestions for books.
And I think we don't have to make a decision this week. Maybe we'll make the decision next week.
Okay. Yeah.
And unless you want to, I mean, we could reach out.
I think we should wait. Yeah.
People and see if anyone wants to do it or responds with something.
Yeah. Yeah. Get some feedback, you know? So one of the things, one of the things we talked about, discussing was like book club names. Right. And I know you're thinking like the art of book club or something like that. Something that is obviously recognizable and associated with our channel and with the podcast. Right. Did you have any other suggestions for names?
Well, I didn't like really
first. I came up with one, but
I like the idea of a funny acronym name.
Yeah. Right.
So something, it's like, what's the screenshot? Well, I was trying to get an acronym that worked with Forge.
Right.
Because I thought the Forge Book Club sounded cool. Right. And obviously is very makery.
Right. Yes. Very manly.
Very manly.
The Forge, because right, you're hanging around the Forge, you know, you're reading books.
You don't feel girly about being in a book club. You're like, it's the Forge. Like, are you a member of the Forge? Like, yeah.
We forge ahead. Forge good relationships with other men and women in the maker community. It's fine. It's not just a men book club.
I reached out to ChatGPT and it responded with some acronyms for Forge. Okay. One I kind of liked was, well, no, that's not the right one.
Is the one you sent to me?
I think so, but I had an even better one. I said, give me 10 more, give me 10 more. I just kept doing it.
Dang, that's crazy.
The Fellowship of Open Readers, Gathering and Enjoyment. So do stuff like that. Or one was the Fellowship. I liked the start of
open-minded reading.
I found a better one. I think Fellowship of Occasional Readers. Yes. I liked.
Yeah, right. That's good.
Right? So it's kind of funny, and it's kind of what we all need is, like, there's a lot of people who are occasional readers and need some direction or a maker book club to. So if we can just get G and E, I think Forge would be cool.
Right. The Fellowship of an Occasional Readers. G&E. I like the gathering and exploring or exploration. Or kind of, guild. But we're not gathering, though, right?
Yeah. You could do guild, but you can't really say guild after you said fellowship.
Fellowship. The fellowship of guild. Of occasional readers. The guild.
Energized. Right, it's tough.
All right, I kind of like that. I kind of like the idea of an acronym. That's kind of fun. But, yeah, obviously AOC, right? If we do the AOC book club, then we can, figure out, is AOC something, right?
Yeah, then it's too close to the politician, I think.
Yeah, that's such a shame.
People are going to think it's some weird, book club.
Yeah, right. The other thing I thought of was the EDC book club, right? The everyday carry, you carry your book with you, every EDC. Or it could be, if we think of another acronym for EDC, right? Because everyone understands EDC as this is the thing that you carry. Everyone usually it's a knife and a flashlight and your wallet and your keys and maybe whatever, a pen or pencil or something. So a lot of people have their EDC. So that's kind of cool. So it's everyday carry. But it's the book that you bring with you.
I like that.
Yeah.
But can that also be an acronym?
I think it can. Right. Yeah. Because if we call it the EDC book club, everyone associates that with the thing that you're going to bring with you all the time. Right. It's the EDC, something that's on you every single day.
But then you can make it into a secondary.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I was literally as I was sitting here getting ready for you to join me on the, on cast, I was how about EDC book club? That's kind of cool. But I wonder what EDC could be and I was trying to think of everyday, what's a C word that means reading and, or creativity, but not, I don't know. I couldn't think of one in the moment, but I was I kind of like that. Right. Because everyone, everyone in our in the maker community understands that term EDC. It's that stuff that's always on you because it's the stuff that you feel like you have to have on you because it's the things you live by. You're used to using it.
Here's some from ChatGPT. Enlight Diverse Classics. The Evergreen Discovery Collective. The Enchanting Collective. Enchanting Book Discourse.
EBD.
The Exquisite Diction Club.
Exquisite Diction. I like that.
That's kind of funny. EDC. Everyday Carry or the Exquisite Diction Club. Diction Club.
Exquisite Diction.
Let me see. I'll say give me 10 more.
Speaking, so while you're waiting for this split second for it to give you 10 more.
It's done.
It's going to take about a couple minutes to do it. Speaking of EDCs, I have a... Citizen Eco Drive, my watch that I have, and I've had it since 2017, and I love it, and it's awesome. But recently, the chip, I chipped the crystal, and the chip actually went inside. It let a little hole, and I got some moisture in there, and I got a few teeny little rust spots I could see on the hands. But then the actual chip in the crystal got into the mechanism somehow and stopped it. And so I saw it underneath one of the hands one time, and I kind of shook it loose, and it was still working fine, but then kind of stopped going. So I had been talking about getting it fixed and just hadn't yet. And for Father's Day earlier this year, I asked Nicole, my wife, I was like, hey, would you mind reaching out to see if there's somewhere around that can do can fix a Citizen? And the chronograph hand was off time, so I asked, I wanted someone who actually, not just a place to get replace the crystal, but actually fix it. So she reached out and didn't really hear anything back, so it kind of got put aside. And and then last Tuesday, she surprised me with a new Citizen EcoDrive watch. So it's an early Christmas present, but that's definitely one of my EDCs is I always have a watch. I always wore a watch ever since high school, and not having that on for maybe the last 2 months has been crazy. And right around the same time that it stopped working, I was, I went on that, whitewater rafting, like the camping trip where we did whitewater rafting, and I lost my Skeletool then as well. So I haven't had my watch or my Skeletool, which are like, those are kind of my, they're my, they're always, you know, and ever since, actually, since I got the O-Light, the little flashlight, that's always been on my pocket too. So it's my Skeletool and the flashlight and my watch. Those are the things that are always on me. Those are the things that I use all the time, right? Obviously, like my wallet, keys, and stuff like that, but...
Right.
But yeah, so nice new shiny Citizen Ego Drive, and I ordered a NATO band. Love the nylon NATO band, so I got that, and that came in, and so new EDC. I love it. I'm so happy to have it back. And little did I know, and to my own benefit, as Citizens have become very popular in young black culture and just like rap and hip hop culture.
Your
like,
students love it.
They do, yeah. And this is actually like, it's funny because the beginning of the year last year, so back in 2022, when early in the year, like it came back from the summer, like last year, and they were like, "Oh, Mr. Ho, you got that city? You got that city?" I was like, "What are you talking about? Like your watch, your city, Citizen watch?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Oh, that's nice." I'm like, "This is the same watch I've had since 2017. I appreciate it, though."
I know. You know what? I'm having the same thing that my shoes have become hip, but I can't wear them anymore because I can't find them. It's just a Nike, white Nikes with a black swoop, the leather shoes. Like, I've been wearing them since, I don't know.
Long time, yeah.
Long time, like 2010. And I just kept getting the same ones. And I actually found a pair that was had a black edge on the bottom, which was extra nice. Because you had the white shoe, and you had the black, so they didn't get as dingy as quick, you know?
Yeah, you didn't see the dinge coming up from the ground. Yeah.
Right. So no green, no brown on the edge. It was so those, and I just couldn't, they stopped selling them, like, in normal stores. So I just stopped buying them. And then now it's, like, the coolest thing to have those Nikes, like, in every color. I wear Adidas now because they're, like, it was kind of the same shoe, the white leather, you know.
And you could still get it, yeah.
But, so, yeah.
Three stripes instead of one check.
Yeah, I like the check. What are you going to do?
But yeah, so I got my new one, and of course all my students noticed it. You know, all the guys are like, "Oh, I see you got that new city." I was like, "Yeah, you know, I was like, my other one got a chip and stopped working, so my wife got me this." And they're like, all right. And I was like, the other day I was writing a pass for one of my students. I like looked at my watch for the time to write the pass, and he's like, "Look at you using that city watch." I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to use it. It's not just decoration.
It's not a bracelet.
It's not just bling." Yeah, right. This is my actual watch.
I need to see the time.
Right, exactly. I'm writing a pass for you, and I didn't know the time. I'm not going to pull my phone out, which I've been doing like a chump for the last 2 months.
I know. That is one thing. I do need a nice watch.
Yeah. And the reason why I actually, when in 2017, when for my Father's Day gift to myself, I bought myself the Citizen Eco Drive was because I wanted a watch that wasn't battery, right? I was like, and the Citizens are solar powered. So I got the Citizen. It was at the time I was going back and forth between the auto watches and solar power. Auto is like, as you move your hand, it spins the thing inside, which continually winds it basically on its own. But they are more expensive because, you know, they potentially last longer. Citizens are usually, they say they're like a kind of a 10-year kind of ish guarantee. And then a lot of them will last longer. But that's usually kind of your range. So,
yeah.
And the price is about right. I think this one actually, my wife got refurbished through an actual Citizen, like, refurbished, you know, certified dealer.
Yeah.
But as far as I can tell, like, I couldn't see anything wrong with it. And then she said that when she got it through whatever the dealer and they said, like, sometimes they won't come in the original box. Sometimes, you know, like, depending on the state of refurbishment, you know. And so they're about, you know, about half price or so. I think that she said it was, like, maybe $120, so about half. Which is when I originally got my first one. I got it through an online dealer of watches, and they had a big sale on it. And so I got the first one for about that same price, and it was about half off the original price. So, which...
Nice.
Some people might not think that's great, but I think that's awesome. I'm like, heck yeah. You found this awesome watch for half the price? That's killer. Love it.
Love it. Love a deal.
Yeah, right. So,
yeah.
All right. So cool. Any EDC acronyms from ChatGPT.
I think that was it. And I almost think that just EDC on its own is interesting.
Yeah,
like
right,
having a book as an everyday carry, it's like just equally as nerdy as being in a book club.
Right. Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah, right.
So I think that's a good idea. Like, I think we could put Forge up there, EDC. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and
we'd have to finish the Forge acronym to make it competitive.
Right. What was the some of the other ones that you had sent me were Makers Pages Guild.
Yeah, the guild was kind of funny. Like, yeah.
And Crafted or... Pros Collective.
Yeah.
CPC.
Yeah. Right.
Word Artisans. Word Artisans Society. These are funny. Yeah.
The Artisanal Reads Assembly. Like, or the Artisanal Readers Assembly. Yeah. Like,
Literary Craftsman's Nexus.
Like, the ARA. That sounds official.
The ARA, yeah.
The Artisanal Readers Assembly. Like, you have to make it so fancy that it's funny.
Artisanal. Yeah, we should be like, bespoke. The bespoke the literary...
Like, yeah, like, gentlemen. You could do, like, The Fellowship of Occasional Reading Gentlemen. Oh, that's pretty good.
What non-exclusive?
I know. See, the gentleman.
Yeah, I know. Classy. That's what I was like. You got it. What do you do with the E at the end to make it like non-exclusive? You know, like that's why I was like, you know, the Gentleman Non-Exclusive Club. And
Gentleman
E. Gentlemen.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we will...
Gentlemen's Club.
We will start, maybe we'll put some stuff up on Instagram, like asking what we should name it, and what right. books. If you guys want to reach out, you can contact, you know, go to the Art of Craftsmanship or the Art of Camera Guy, send us stuff through email at theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com. Or just... I guess we'll have to start a hashtag for what we get. So then, because I think that'd be cool too. Like, see makers you like, but like, they're like, what are they reading?
So let's say this for now. If you're out there and you're listening, and you think of a good name, or you think of a good suggestion for a book, or you think of something that can add to the conversation before next week or anytime, just use the hashtag #TheArtOfBookClub. Right. So that way for now, as we get some, like, we can search that hashtag, and then if people are using it, then we can get some suggestions. And then if we have to change it, we can change it, you know, because obviously everyone who's using it is going to be the people who are listening right now. So they're going to be listening next week, most likely. And so that way, at least for now, for this one, I mean, obviously you could just hashtag like the Art of Craftsmanship Book Club or just the Art of Craftsmanship. That would work as well. But I think if we hashtag the Art of Book Club and then you do like ideas, right? So I'm going to write this down. The Art of Book Club. I think that's a good start. So any suggestions, any ideas, any book suggestions or title ideas, or the other thing that I wanted to ask about as well was like, how do we make it a collective, right? Do we want it to be a Facebook page? Do we want it to be just send DMs? Do we want it to be a hashtag, right? So you like, if you want to be in the conversation, you just hashtag it. And then everyone who wants to be part of the conversation just follows the hashtag, which
yeah, I feel
you know,
like,
that might be the easiest.
That is something I think, yeah, we can figure out over the next week because you're right. A book club should have somewhere to chat about it.
Yeah, right.
So either we...
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, when I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, we will chat about it here on the podcast once a month or once every couple months. That's another thing I was thinking. I don't want it rushed. We all have things to do. So if it's maybe if every normal book club is once a month or once a 2 weeks, we'll just double whatever the normal book club is, you know?
Right, exactly. Like, we'll kind of, and we can check in on like where we are, you know, if it's like, okay, yeah, I've finished up. Where are you? Oh, I got, you know, like I'm 3/4 of the way. Okay, well, you know. What are we going to do? Like, I mean, you know, I think, okay, we'll give you another 2 weeks or something. And
maybe we have a, I mean, I think 6 books a year is nice.
Yeah.
Because people have other stuff they want to read.
Right. Yep.
You know, so we're not like asking them to only read stuff that this book club comes up with.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I know there's, everyone's got their own thing. So maybe.
Everyone's got their other book clubs to be part of as well.
The other nerds. What are you, a girl?
Is it a Forge book club?
Yeah, I would say a couple of the ideas that my wife came up with after I mentioned this to her, but I don't think I can actually say the words on this podcast without getting flagged. So,
hey, now we're talking.
She definitely raised me. Guys
book club.
And I was like, what? I was like, as man, we're not allowed to read as men, and then she zinged me with a even better raz, and I just stopped arguing.
Nice. Oh man, I love it when your wife gets a good raz. She's just proud.
She was razzing me.
You're like, I'm proud.
Yeah, it was so funny. I just laughed and gave up. You know, eventually you just start laughing and like, all right, you win this round.
Wait till later. And I push you off the chair. How about that?
Yeah, you're right. I am gay. How'd you know?
That's great. Now, but it's actually Nicole, my wife, who was like, what are you gonna do, like how are you guys, like if that's the idea, like you have a Facebook page, whatever, like how are you gonna talk about it, right? Or how are you gonna, like, how's it gonna be a club?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's,
no, you're,
where's,
you're
what's
right.
The location, you know, what's the, yeah, that's the true. Land, where's the helicopter pad? Where's the fort, the smithy?
Yeah,
the
maybe
shop.
Maybe we have to go to the paper mill. Scott's paper mill every 2 months. And
yeah, the Maryland Maker Book Club.
Oh, man. Oh, now we're cooking.
MMBC.
I think he's got the space.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We'll meet in the basement next to the leg.
Man. Ooh, yeah. Spooky
depending
lanterns.
On what it is. Right. If it's like a, you know, a timber framing book, we meet in that corner room with the timber frame structure. You know, if it's like a book, an old like industry, we meet in the big space with the big like water wheels. Mm-hmm. If it's a spooky book, we meet in the basement.
You know, it'd be cool. Like we do something like that where other humans can actually come, or every 2 months we do a Zoom style where we don't even have to have we don't have to have the video. I mean, we could, but just to be able to bring on 6 people.
Right. Yeah.
Or whoever, maybe there's someone who suggested the book, or maybe there's a maker we know and like, and they've suggested us a book and we've all read it. We can have them on.
Right. Yeah.
Just have guests. So have like 4 or 5 guests and everyone go around and then
Yeah, because everyone who's listening, who's going to understand and be part of it, is going to be someone in the maker community, right? Because or in someone within the community that follows and listens to what we're doing here, which is 99.9% the maker community, right? So it's like that is a great way to then learn about new people in the community who aren't maybe like the top people who we would have been like, oh, I really want to have this person on. But then they introduce some cool book and then we're like, oh, what do you do? Oh, you do something cool. Let's talk about it. Let's have you on the podcast. Right. Another great way to like bring in new guests, which I think is cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this popped into my head, but when we went to Matt Harris studio, we went to his Hammerin. Noah was there from the Smiling Wolf workshop and he asked about the, it's funny because I was like, what do I feel like I'm missing something that we were going to start and then we never talked about. He asked about the Bro Drop trailer. So, he was like, anything happened with the Bro Drop trailer yet? Bro Drop. And so Noah, for you listening, obviously we reached out to a company or we're kind of waiting to hear back from different companies. So that's not like off the books. It's just, something that we want to do. That's definitely still out there. That's,
We had to reach out to more companies. We were very specific in the one we wanted, but nothing back yet. So maybe we just got to cast a wide net and see what happens because we are asking for a big thing for free. So some companies just don't have that in the books or that's not something you're used to. And I think some companies might do something like that. So we just got to figure out our target and work on that. But big things, book club stuff, fun stuff. So think about it over the week. We're going to probably have it nailed down by next week.
Right.
And then we can all start do you have any, suggestions
for
the books? Book club, for the books?
I do. So I looked up some books and the way I did this was I searched was post-apocalyptic books because I love post-apocalyptic books. But when you search that, you get a lot of like, there's a wide range of what that can be. Mm-hmm. Right. There's like the whole like kind of political prepper, that side of the post-apocalyptic thing.
Right.
And then there's the like the fantasy, like on the other end is the kind of like, why did this happen? Some crazy thing happened where there's something otherworldly that's making a thing happen. Right. And so I kind of got a wide range, which is kind of cool, you know, just to like, when I search that in general, you know, I'm thinking of more on the fantasy side of it. Cause that's the stuff that I like, or like the Dies of the Fire series, which I love. And I probably talked about on here before. But one of the books, so I got some books there on a suggestion. So one of the suggestions that I thought was kind of interesting was a book called Wastelands, which is it's a book of short stories of stories of the apocalypse, which I thought was actually kind of good too, because then we can kind of, if we wanted to read a book like that, then we can do a short story. If it's like 25 or 30 pages, we could do that once a week, right? You know, we could kind of like, okay, where are you now? Let's all read this one this week and then we'll talk about it next week or whatever. We'll, you know.
I'll say real quick, I'm not a fan of short stories.
Okay. Well, I just saw this and I thought like, if it's kind of interesting about like, you know, post-apocalyptic, and that is like George R. R. Martin and Stephen King. And this one specifically was a bunch of kind of interesting writers. And this is like and I like the short story books that I like are the ones that are delving into a world that I already love. You know, if it's like short stories of like, like writers that write things that are like Lord of the Rings or something, you know, like other stories that from other authors that write about this world I like, you know, that's kind of cool. That's kind of what I've read.
What I think is, I find that the point of like the book is to get into it for a long time instead of just little chunks where you like barely get to know the characters and then you're kind of out of it. But,
But you know, like, so that was one that popped up that I thought would be interesting. And the reason why I actually, cause I'm usually in the same boat as you, like, unless it's something that I'm really interested in, I'd rather read a full story, right? I'd really get invested in the characters. But because I thought like short stories might be something that might be nice because it can be like a, you know, in the next month, just read these two short stories, right? Then it's a smaller ask. you know, so yeah. Depending on.
Wait, I'll do one. Let's go back and forth.
Okay.
Now this is my, I'm going to start with the top and then work down.
All right. Are these ones you've read or are these ones?
Now that's okay. An interesting point too, because we have to figure out ones. I don't want to reread books, but there are books that I love, which I would love to reread, and I want to other people to read them.
Right.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. I'd be okay with that too. Yeah.
Like the first Dies of Fire book, which I never read the whole series like you did, but just that one as its own standalone survivor maker book.
Yeah.
It's quite good. Now, here's one that popped up that I thought was interesting. Max Brooks, Devolution. He did World War Z and the... what was the one that I really loved was the Zombie Survival Guide.
Right.
Which was like a legit survival book that had all the stuff you would need, like a normal survivor book, kind of a spoof too, but actually had real information. And then for every chunk of stuff you'd learn, it would have, speaking, I guess I just shit all over short stories, but now I really enjoyed in the back of the book had references, and it was all as if it was real.
Right.
Like, this happened. Like, we told you to, if you're in the top floor of a house, you have to, like, knock the steps out. Or they'll crawl up, and you can, like, survive this long. And the reason we know this is because of this family. And then they would tell you the story of this family. But anyway, really kind of interesting, funny guy. Obviously made a huge hit. He's Mel Brooks' son, which is crazy. So this is a survival / science / Bigfoot thriller.
Nice.
/ like horror.
Evolution. Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, I like him. Sounds and it's cool. Like, it's like someone going out into the snowy mountains or something, or a whole group of people. And then it goes from like a science, they're out there doing stuff, to it turning into this, Bigfoot horror thriller.
All right.
Like, that sounds like fun.
Nice. I like that. It's cool. All right. So my second, and I have four, so how many you have? Okay. But I have four. The second one I have is called Outer Dark by Cormac McCarthy. He's famous for The Road, which he wrote, and was a movie with Viggo Mortensen. Another post-apocalyptic, but this one is a book about, it's kind of, I guess, a post-apocalyptic-y type thing. They're kind of like the Western or like West Virginia, Kentucky, kind of that area, Appalachians. Mm-hmm. There's a woman who has the child of her brother. And the brother goes to like basically kill the child, leave it in the woods, but she gets it and goes off on her own, and they kind of wander through crazy, you know, the terrifying post-apocalyptic, you know, countryside with different random things that happen. And I think it kind of, it's like three stories that all meld together, from what I read, but that looks kind of interesting. I thought that was kind of cool. And I like Cormac McCarthy. I like that. It's funny because I talked about, like, I don't want to read a book that is kind of depressing, and I think that The Road was kind of depressing, but it was an interesting way to tell a story about, you know, the father and son and moving through the, you know.
Yeah, no, I love The Road.
Yeah, so
I like Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah, me too.
You know, he did No Country for Old Men, right?
Exactly. Yep. Also did,
which is one of the greatest movies of all time. So
yes, I agree. His I forget where did I read it. His actual name was
Ned
Christopher or something. Like, his born name is Christopher McCarthy.
Yeah, not as cool as Cormac.
He changed it to Cormac.
Cormac seems like something you would put on a burger. Any Cormac seasoning? I guess I'm thinking McCormack, but yeah.
Yeah, right. You have any McCormack seasoning?
Yeah, I love McCormack books.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's
that's
like
a good one. That sounds
kind
of
cool. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. I thought that looked interesting.
I think I'll just, there's apparently a really good There's a Deadwood book. That's a fictional narrative of Wild Bill's last days. So that would be really interesting to combine one of our favorite HBO series. And that'd be a great conversation piece. Like, what did they include in this fictional version compared to the show fictional version? But apparently it's one that people really like. It's just called Deadwood by Peter Dexter.
All right. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because you, like, whatever, 10 minutes ago in the podcast, Deadwood popped in my head for some reason. You know, it was like, that's like an interesting, you know, like, story that is interesting, right? Because it's got that kind of historical fiction thing of, like, the actual town of Deadwood and some of the characters, but written, you know, like Gangs of New York, right? That's written with, like, actual characters, like, historical characters, but, you know, something interesting. Yeah. Nice. I love it. Okay, my next book, and I don't know how this popped up in my list when I was searching, is a book from Norman Reedus. You know who Norman Reedus is?
Yeah, the zombie killer.
Yeah, exactly. Right, also from Boondock Saints.
Is it a motorcycle book?
Yeah, it is not. What's it? What's his name in The Walking Dead? I don't know, whatever. But yeah, so famous from The Walking Dead as well as from, you know, went alongside of Sean Patrick Flanery, something like that, from Boondock Saints. But he wrote a book called The Ravaged, which is like his first book. He's written a couple books with this other author. And this is about a young guy who basically, like, travels the country and does different stuff. And the real quick synopsis says, like, after thrashing his dog abusing boss, Hunter learns of his father's death in a mysterious fire. Biker buddies Nugget and Itch ride with him from North Carolina to California. Hey, look at that.
I was right.
Stories from his father's life help ease the struggles of small town Americans. Hunter discovers a secret past.
So I don't know if I can get behind an actor's fictional book.
Well, I know, and I was actually thinking about that, and I don't know what, again, I was like, I don't know why it popped up in my feed, but it says it's a book by Frank Bill and Norman Reedus. So, right, so he's got somebody else helping him.
A ghosty writer.
Yeah. Although on the cover of the book, his name is bigger than the title. Norman Reedus, The Ravaged.
That, you kind of have to do it.
Yeah, right, exactly. It is a New York Times bestseller.
So. It's like Tom Hanks writes, like, all right, I guess I'll read it.
Yeah, right.
he's a plant enthusiast. He's got a great plant book. Okay, not bad. I will do... Now, this one's weird because I can't remember if I've actually read it, but I don't think I... If I did, I started it and didn't finish it.
Okay.
Master and Commander by Patrick O'Brien. He's done a bunch of Navy books. Obviously, Master and Commander is like the top one, not only because it was made into an amazing, amazing movie. And I think it was a series of like shorter chunks of this guy or of this crew. So Master and Commander, I just think would be and I think I think it's a British Navy ship hunting an American ship. They changed it in the movie to a French ship because, you know, you're trying to sell it in America, so they didn't think you'd root for a British ship hunting an American ship. But it's during the War of 1812. But just, I love a good like old school tall ship book.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
What was the series? Did you ever read the series? I gave them to Derek. No, I can't even think of the name.
I don't think
so. But I read a whole series of, what's his name? Maybe we can read one of those. And I loved them. There was like 9 books, of Napoleonic era.
Oh, nice.
So that was the great thing about that is not only are the ships awesome, but that was when they gave you free rein to take any ship you wanted. So if you're an English ship and you see any French ship, you hunt it down and you take it by hook or by crook.
that's Buccaneers, right? Or what's it?
It was anybody. Any military vessel could.
Yeah. What's the name? Like they. There's a name for that. It's the, for, yeah, it was like common people who were able to, who were like authorized to basically be pirates.
Well, that, but they too, were following the law. I think most ships could, but even military ships, I mean, you would be sent on a specific mission, but it's like, hey, on your way, if you find any French ship and you bring it back, we're paying the whole crew.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was legalized piracy.
Yeah. This is the author.
Hey, there's a merchant right. ship.
Herman Melville?
I'm just kidding. we're going to hunt it down. But so yeah. stuff like that. So yeah, that's that.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be sweet. I actually, I listened to Moby Dick. Audiobooked it once. Yeah. It was really, really good. I was like, dang, this is really good. Yeah. And then, like, when they came up with the movie that came out not too long ago with...
of Moby Dick?
Yeah, what's the brother who plays Thor? The actor who plays
Hemsworth,
Thor?
Hemsworth, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth. And that, yeah, it was kind of the story of the crew behind Moby Dick. And in the movie... It's like the author Herman Melville trying to write the story and trying to get it from someone who was on the crew of the people who were in the who survived Moby Dick, right? Who were trying to chase this white whale, and the whale was basically like terrorizing them, and they were like floating out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean or something for, you know, at the doldrums for weeks and weeks and weeks, and
yeah,
you know, end up turning on each other and eating each other and stuff. And so yeah, there's a lot of like, but it was really cool the way they wrote about it. Was like Herman Melville was trying to get the story from someone who actually lived a firsthand experience of this thing and then write the book of Moby Dick.
Right.
It was cool. I forget what it was called, but it's called the yeah, I don't remember, whatever. But it was good. It was a good book. Nice. All right. So my last book of my four suggestions is a book called The Frontiersman, a narrative. And it is about, it's kind of like, it takes, it's again, almost maybe like a historical fiction. It takes a bunch of stories and a bunch of lore from a bunch of different frontiersmen's like, the different ones we know, you know, like whatever. I'm trying to think of the names of some of the people. Daniel Boone, you know, whatever, like all these guys, and kind of take it and kind of meld all these kind of stories and write this kind of frontiersman, you know, or like a, you know, American, you know, kind of outward bound scouty type person in the early Americas, and it also, I think it also writes from the perspective also of Tecumseh, which is kind of cool because we actually were like listened to all the Tecumseh stuff from Meat Eater.
Oh yeah,
or it is Bear Grease, right? We learned about Tecumseh, which is really cool. We were driving down to Blade Show.
Yeah,
But yeah, so it's like this. This guy, Keaton, by his 18th birthday, already won frontier renown as a woodsman, fighter, and scout. Incredible physical strength and endurance, his great dignity and innate kindness made him the ideal prototype of the frontier hero. Mm. And then it also, like, so it kind of writes it from his, and it also says, Tecumseh, the brilliant Shawnee chief, welded together by a sheer force of his intellect and charisma an incredible Indian confederacy that came desperately close to breaking the trust of the white man's westward expansion. So I think it writes about their two stories in a book called The Frontiersman, which written from by Alan Eckert. And I haven't actually looked, I haven't been able to see the actual date, but I think it's like an older one, but one that's got a lot of really good ratings over the years and stuff. So,
yeah.
Nice. Oh, actually, it was published in 2011, so not as old as I thought it might be. But yeah, that looks kind of cool. The Frontiersman.
I thought that'd be nice.
Cool. Yeah.
In that same vein, I think picking a few of the best Lewis L'Amour books would be cool. You know, mm-hmm. great. Like just. I mean, that, okay, that is, again, breaking a rule. Like, the name.
Yeah, the big name.
Bigger than,
yeah, Louis L'Amour. Yeah.
But there's some cool books there. Some nice, easy ones. Oh, my gosh, the baby.
Yeah. I heard a ring. I got dogs over here barking.
Yeah, and I'll double up on that type of thing. If we wanted to tackle a big one, which I have read, which I would like to read again, is Lonesome Dove.
Right on. Yeah, that popped up in my search.
It's a great, great, just Western story.
Stones and Dove.
Yeah.
Sweet. Nice. Right on. It was All Quiet on the Western Front. No, that was my four. Yeah, so The Frontiersman, Ravaged, Wastelands, and Outer Dark.
I think I've read All Quiet on the Western Front.
I have not read that one.
That is a slightly depressing one.
Yeah, right.
And a couple other quick ones that I love are like Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton and The Stand by Stephen King.
Ah, nice.
Talk about like the apocalypse. That's Stephen King's big apocalyptic. Well, one of them. And he's got others, but that's like huge. It's like the whole U.S. and like basically two sides come in and against, you know, each other, and then
right. Yeah,
it's really cool.
That's cool.
All right.
I guess one of the. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was gonna say we can start to wrap it up. I got to take care of the kiddo here soon.
Okay.
We had a bunch more other things we wanted to talk about, but
right. I think that's good though. Yeah, we'll leave it on that. We'll leave it there because that way people, it'll be fresh in their mind. Hopefully, if you're listening and you have a suggestion of a book, something you love that you've read before, or something you've wanted to read, or again, like an idea for the book cub title. Sorry,
this is what he thinks.
What's it called? The Unforgivable Per Curses kind of worked its way back up there.
Cursed your belly.
Yeah, if you have an idea for the name of the book club or an acronym for EDC, which would be kind of cool too. So, you know, we're going
to
look up that.
Finish off Forge of the Fellowship of Occasional Readers.
Yeah, that's great. Nice. Yeah. But just either send us a DM or send us an email, which is fine. You know, so either Devin or I on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship or at The Art of Camera Guy, you can send us DMs there. You can send us an email to theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com. And also, I'll post something up on just like the community post of YouTube as well. So you can leave us a comment there if you see it. Otherwise, if you are interested and you think it might be interesting and you write about it or whatever, you're going to put a post on Instagram, just hashtag hashtag the art of book club for this week. And we'll see if that just sticks. If that sticks and everyone likes it, we can keep it that way because it still will be the art of book club and we can name that book club, whatever. But yeah, so that way we'll figure out what's going on. Hopefully we get some feedback before next week and we'll talk about it. It'd be kind of cool. We might have some guests on coming up. We'll see.
Yeah, we got some guests. Maybe we'll reach out to a couple people. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that'd be cool.
Just reach out to some of our friends and maybe like 5 or 10 people, see what they're reading, what they'd like to invite them formally. We got to make up like patches or something. These stickers, so you're like a part of it. So anytime we go, it's like, hey, you want to join? Like,
or you like send something in the mail? You know, you get like a decoder pin and like
you need something special,
a formal invitation.
It's something we don't just give out. Yeah. It's like everyone can be included, but once you've like posted something and joined in the conversation, we'll send you something.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah.
Are you a member of the EDC? Are you a Forge member?
Do you have the signet ring?
Are you of the Forge?
Are you of the... Yeah, right, exactly. You like, they pull out like a Forge nail out of their pocket, like, you know what this is. Yeah,
a glowing ring that shoots into the sky. A skull with a snake running through it.
Like it. You know, tattoos. We can get some tattoos.
Permanent tattoos. Yeah. We're trying to make this book club manly. You gotta destroy your skin to be a part of it.
The one ring to rule them all.
Nice. The many rings to rule the book club.
Nice.
So, cool. All right, quick recommendations. I have one that... I guess this is coming out. You're going to knock it out for tomorrow, Dust? If you're listening to this early in the morning, if you can get to a TV by 8 a.m., SpaceX has a window of like 20 minutes from like 8 to 8:20, I think, to launch their Starship. And they're going to try to get it up into the atmosphere this time. Hopefully it doesn't explode. It's been like 7 months since the last one. And it's going to be great. So if you guys can watch that, and if you are past the time, search it and then find it on YouTube and watch it, because it's the biggest rocket ever made, and it's going to be the rocket that takes people to the moon and or Mars. So it's like amazing to see it blast off.
What is your recommendation on where they should watch it if people want to know?
Either SpaceX. I think there's like a space.com or Everyday Astronaut. All on YouTube. So just go to YouTube, yeah, and there's a bunch of people who stream it live, and then a bunch of people who have good like their own thing, like Everyday Astronaut, which we've recommended before, but they have like a 4K live stream, which is very rare. So you can watch that on your big TV, and the guy's great, and he's going to be going to the moon on one of those things now. That's so right. It's amazing.
Yeah. I really like Everyday Astronaut. He's just fun to listen to, and he does a mm-hmm. good job of like talking about the other mm-hmm. stuff, and he's always like streaming like the SpaceX, live stream as well. So you kind of get a combination of both, right? He's like, oh wait, he like shows it. It's like in, a corner panel. Yeah. It's like, okay, what do we got?
They've got a house near, or like they rent a place, and they have great cameras set up all over, and.
Right,
they get great shots too.
So. Yeah, and he's always like excited about it, and he's like, "Here we go!" You know, it's like his reaction is just like he's just a space geek. He just loves it, you know, and it's so much fun to watch. So he's so knowledgeable, and it's cool. Yeah. Right on, sweet. Okay, as promised from earlier in the conversation when I talked about the book that I just finished, which will be my recommendation, is a book called The Poppy War. This is by R.F. Kang or Kuang, K-U-A-N-G, female writer. This is her first book, but it's a really awesome book about a young girl in this kind of imaginary country that kind of is like Japan. And she takes this, she's an orphan, and her foster parents are horrible, and they make her do all this stuff, and they sell they have like an opium den on the side, and they make her bring the drugs to other people and whatever. So the only way out of this thing is for her to test really high in this this test that can get her into a school that trains basically. It's like an ROTC school, basically a school that trains people to become like warriors and generals and stuff in their army. And then so when she's there, she goes through the training, she does all the stuff, and she has to kind of choose one area of focus to stay if she wants to stay. And she ends up choosing a specific area, and it's really awesome. It has like, it's just a really cool story. It follows a bunch of different characters that she like learns about, which kind of, you know, are from all these different areas around the country that she's from, and has a little bit of like fun fantasy type stuff along with like normal kind of war, and so it's like a cross between like I don't know, like the Hunger Games and Harry Potter and all these kind of like kind of a younger person coming into their own and learning who they are, you know, like Percy Jackson, but it's not as it's written in a way that's definitely not, it's not a like a young teen book, right? Like those all are, and I love all them. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just definitely written as an adult book.
Yeah.
Right. It's,
but also, I think another quote I was looking through in reading was a great, I forget what it is, but the idea was if it's a great book, it's not only for young people.
Right, it's just a great book.
It can be targeted because maybe it's based on a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
But it's like a good one cuts through that, no matter what you call it. Like Harry Potter. Like, I think we like Harry Potter. I love those books. Even though I was late, I used to make fun of you guys for reading them. Because when I was of the right age where they were coming out when I was young in the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah, we all were. I just didn't read them.
Right.
And I read them all starting in like high school. And then I think the last two books weren't out. So those were the ones that I, like when they came out, I had to go to the mall, like wait in the line to get a copy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a really funny Instagram reel the other day. I was kind of flipping through, and it was like when you're, you know, as a 40 something, or as like, you know, when you're in your late whatever, it was like when your child discovers Harry Potter for the first time.
I know what you're talking about.
And this little girl like comes in the room and she's like, "Hiya!" And she's got her wand, like, you know. Gotcha. And she like points it at, and he's, and then it like turns the camera and it's on this like girl on the couch. She's like, "Nah, that's cute. You're sending what, like, your spells are so cute." There's like, "Oh, Avada Kedavra!" They pull the wand out, like,
yeah, it's so, yeah, that is good.
All of us like 40-year-olds are all like people, you know, who like that came out when we were
learning. That's
like,
nice. Yeah,
that's so cute. Your little spells. I'm letting go, dog. That's great.
It's true. That's my wife.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's cute. But yeah, so fun. Yeah, fun stuff. But we got there. But yes, what we were saying something about. Oh, the story, yeah, right. So the Poppy War is really good.
Cool.
And it you get to the end and it leads to the, like, it could be another story after it. It leaves it off to a point where like it finishes its actual story, but it leaves it off where like there could be a continuation of the story, which is kind of cool. So I don't know if she's actually written a second book yet, but Nicole actually got it for me. And then I was finishing up another series, so I ended up reading it. But then while I was reading, I was about 3/4 of the way done, and Corinne started reading it, and she like made it about halfway through, and then Nicole started reading it. And so now like I just finished it, and they're both still reading it. So three different bookmarks inside. Yeah, right.
Yeah, you got to leave an opening, I guess, in these books now.
Yeah.
How ballsy is old JK for being like, this is my book, and the wizard has 7 years of school.
Yeah, right, exactly.
like, talk about an open-ended, like, hey, you want to sign up for more?
Uh-huh, yeah, right.
It's not like, oh, he goes to a wizard school and learns the wizard things.
Yeah.
It's, no, he's a little kid, and he's going to be an adult by the time he's ended.
Very definitive. Cool. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want 7 books. If you're going to sign me, I got a whole set.
Nice. Sweet. Cool. All right. Well, we already dropped all the Instagram and all the YouTube stuff. I guess what's left over is, if you are listening and you want to help out and be part of, you know, like, support us, what we do, you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and support us there. And for all of our patrons, we super appreciate it. And if you are part of Patreon, then you're also automatically part of our, what's it called?
Discord.
Discord. Yes.
Which we have to update, cause we haven't done in a while, but
yeah,
you know, we're slow shooting right now, but
right. Exactly.
That,
yeah.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. When we're together and we're shooting and filming, then that's the time when we're usually putting stuff out on Discord. Cause that's kind of like where we're chatting with a lot of people and showing them what's happening behind the scenes. So if you're interested in being a part of that, or you just want to help out, you can always head over there and help us out that way. We really appreciate it. All right, guys, everybody else. I think that's all for now. You got anything else, Dev?
That's it.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.